The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we are off and running. The second hour is live, and there is news from the Pac-12, and it's coming out fast and furious. The Pac-12 title game is going to be on the 19th. Of course, the SEC announced that as well. The Pac-12 has also just released its schedule. It is fluid. They say the season will start September 22nd. It can start later if necessary. There will be five home and five road, and games that are unable to be played can be put in either the bye week or the week 12 week. That is the week before the championship game. So they are the first conference to put down their flag and say that this is, well, the ACC did the other day, but with a lot of incompletes. But the Pac-12 is the first to say this is our schedule, and we can play with it. What does all this really mean? I have no idea. I don't know if anyone else does either. There is probably more negativity today than there was yesterday before the SEC made the announcement. There was a lot of positivity, I thought, on Wednesday when the ACC came out. We still haven't heard anything out of the Big Ten, and I would say keep your eyes on Chicago with Kevin Warren. He was the first to move to the all-conference, and he has been the quietest of the five Power Five commissioners. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285, and Ed is in Greenville, Mississippi, and you are on the air. Hey, Ed.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing, buddy? Listen, Paul, you know, good news is one thing, but I know these people are already starting to complain and moan and bellyache. Well, all I can say to these people, they better get up, grow up, shut up, and be glad for what we got. Be happy. Be happy we've got 10 games, and just hope we aren't sorry we played them after the games. Please, folks, just be happy. My God. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. I'm glad you called. I had some friend of mine say he was talking. He heard a show today somewhere, and they got into this vicious argument about their school was being jobbed. And I, first of all, we don't even know the schedule. People, and some people may think they do, and maybe they do. But the most important thing is to get this season started right now. And I mean, these are not normal times. And I think sometimes sports fans, you know, just completely disregard the challenge that Greg Sankey and all these commissioners are going through right now. Until a couple of days ago, they were counting on a full season, maybe with some adjustments, and now they're dealing with a conference-only schedule that is very tenuous at best. And we're just in the middle of a pandemic, no big deal. Let's continue with Bob, who is in Biloxi, Mississippi. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So the SEC is going to a 10-game schedule, all-conference. I'm a Southern Miss fan. Southern Miss was scheduled to play Auburn at Auburn, of course. That's a big payday game for us. So maybe this has been discussed, but what happens to those non-conference games that are under contract, and is there any recourse for the non-conference guys? And I'll hang up and let you.
Yeah, that is a really good question there. Some of it depends on the contracts. Many contracts have a force majeure clause in there, which means we think we can get out of this because of unforeseen and end of the world like situations, which we're currently in. There may be litigation on others, but most smaller schools, I think, are going to have to look at this and go, is it really worth going to court? Is it worth spending a lot of money that maybe we really don't have and the other guy does, and endanger your future relationships with many other schools, when the best thing is to say, hey, wasn't like they did it purposely, although some people think there was a movement to get out of some of these games, whether a million and a half, $2 million games, that the return was not going to be very good anyway, because there would be virtually little or no crowds at these games. Rowdy is up next in Alabama. Rowdy, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, it's good to talk to you again, brother, and you sound like you're doing well.
I am. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That's good. Hey, listen, I'm sitting out here in the shop. I'm listening to the show, and then you broke in, and or actually you mentioned when someone else had brought it up that Harvey Updike had passed. And that brought back a lot of memories. I remember that day just like it was yesterday. I was sitting out here in the shop. It was later in the evening. I want to say it had rained that day, but then he come clean about, you know, he had poisoned the trees. And I was thinking, my God, this guy, I don't know if he realizes what he's done or not.
Yeah, I have mixed emotions about spending a lot of time on it, Rowdy, and because it is such an ugly episode in the history of college football.
Right.
And well, I think it brought the worst out in the rivalries between everyone, in this case Alabama and Auburn. And what's interesting is in the aftermath of that, and I'll just say this in full disclosure, there were a lot of critics in college athletics, columnists, talk show hosts who blame me and said that the vitriolic nature of this program promoted that. And I always let that roll off of me because, quite frankly, I don't I mean, this is a talk show where we really enjoy it. I mean, I think this talk show is a microcosm of what happens in every community in the SEC and around college football. So if people wanted to accuse me of that, then that was their right. But yes. In the end, there are a lot of Harvey Updikes out there. He just happened to become the most famous.
That's
or
right.
Infamous.
Well, don't blame yourself, brother. Your show had nothing to do with that. But I wanted to ask you this, Paul. Now, everybody knows that Harvey was upset with Auburn because they had beat us that year, and he said that there was a jersey that had been placed on one of our statues on the Walk of Fame there.
Right, right.
But if you'll remember, it went back even deeper than that. He said he was actually settling an old score from where somebody had desecrated or, I think, done some damage to Paul Bear Bryant's grave. Do you remember that part of it, Paul?
Yeah, no, listen, whether I want to or not, I have been subjected to that phone call, Rowdy, more than any other call in the history of this show. I've heard it countless times. And the genesis of the call that Harvey Updike made on, I think it was January 26, 2011, the first part of the call, and I think it was interesting because that was the anniversary of Coach Bryant's death. The first
That's
part
right.
of the call was about Auburn fans rolling Toomer's Corner when Coach Bryant died. And I told him that was not true. And because I had looked into that many years earlier, and he later told me, I got to know him fairly well, that
yes,
he got
sir.
So mad at me shutting him down on that thought that he snapped and said, well, I'll tell you what I did last week. And then he went through the Cam Newton jersey on the Bear Bryant statue. And you know, he was, I spent a lot. I visited Harvey in jail. That's something that I haven't talked about very often. And unfortunately, instead of being rehabilitated from a terrible mistake, he used that for whatever fame he got. I don't know. He certainly didn't get any fortune from it, but he got a lot of infamy, and that was important to Harvey. And I really until the other day. Until last November, I had not talked to him in a number of years. But to say the least, I knew him pretty well.
Right. Well, and one more quick thing, Paul. My wife is an Auburn fan. I'm a Bama fan. But we're coming up, I think, this season would be pretty close to the anniversary of Tammy, right, on her passing.
Yeah, Tammy passed away in November – 2 years ago, November of, of 2018.
So it's already been 2 years. Okay, well, I'm sorry for that, Paul. But, yeah, well, I love to hear Tammy.
Well, hold on a second. Let me double-check.
I didn't realize it had been 2 years.
No, no, I think I may be off on that. I think it was this is 2020, right? I'm trying to remember
yes,
what year
sir.
We're in. It wasn't last year. It was November of 2018.
Okay. All right, Paul. Well, listen, God bless, friend, and love your show.
Thank you. Yeah, it's hard to imagine that I wouldn't know what year we're in, since sadly 2020 will probably go down as maybe the best-known year in the history of our being. Let's take a break. More to come as we continue here on a Friday afternoon. Alyssa Lang will join us next from the SEC Network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back here. Friday afternoon. A lot of news happening. Most of it coming from the West Coast, where Larry Scott saying the camp will start for the Pac-12 on August 17th, but he warns that it's a dynamic process and health authorities will set that date. So I think the biggest issue for the Pac-12 continues to be the governance of California, Oregon, Washington, and maybe even Arizona right now, where all those states have struggled during this pandemic. Everyone is announcing their schedules. Everyone is announcing their preference to return to play. That's all they can do. What are they going to have another Zoom meeting today to talk about the contingency? They finally decided. Doesn't mean they can't change. Speaking of that, let's talk to the great anchor for the SEC Network, Alyssa Lang, who also does college football games during the fall. And she has been watching all of this like we have. And Alyssa, first of all, thanks. Great to have you on the show. It's fun to catch up again, and we trust you've been well.
Yeah, I've missed talking to you every Friday, Paul. I know we typically catch up during college football season, and it's been a long time since our last show together. But, man, when I tell you I was on the edge of my seat yesterday when this news came out, and I know you just mentioned it, everything's dynamic, things change by the day, things can still change between now and September 26th, but just having that announcement from the SEC gave me just this warm, fuzzy feeling inside that college football feels so, so much closer. And I know you and I both very, very excited when we finally see some of these games get underway, if we do.
Yeah, Alyssa, it's been such an enormously awkward ordeal. And I've had quite a few conversations with you on some of your segments and you know, none of us really were prepared. It's not, you know, sometimes you have months to or weeks to get ready for something. This thing literally knocked us all over the head in the middle of a week. And I'm curious for you, talking to so many players and coaches, administrators, as you do, what has this experience been like?
It's definitely been odd, right? I mean, I think you can, I'm sure, agree that it feels like our lives really revolve around college football. You know, we dip into so many other sports, but college football kind of marks the beginning of your year, which sounds kind of crazy, but I always say to people, you know, my year starts end of August, beginning of September. So it's been such a strange experience just kind of sitting around and waiting for any kind of news. I know players and coaches were feeling that way a little bit towards the beginning of this thing, but now, you know, what can you do mentally and physically other than to just get in the gym or get back to your campus and just prepare as if we were going to have a season? And that's what a lot of them have been doing. Now, obviously, finding out that if we can go forward with this thing, the season would start towards the end of September. So, I mean, there's this sense of excitement, but there's also still a sense of, I don't want to use the word fear, but I still can't let myself get too excited because this thing is still fluid. And over the last couple of months, I know you've talked to Commissioner Greg Sankey a lot. I have too on ESPN radio, and he's talked about this thing being a marathon and you got to take it a mile at a time. So I know in my conversations with people and on social media, I've been in the, hey, wear a mask category. Like, if that's what's going to get college football and make sure we can get this thing going, then we need to be doing everything we possibly can, because I truly have tried, Paul, to sit back and imagine a fall without college football, and it feels impossible. I mean, obviously, I don't want anyone to be out there if health and safety is at risk, but it's just such a tough thing to imagine August through January without college football. It would be so surreal. So, again, it feels like we're moving in the direction of seeing it, but at the same time, I know we still have so much work to do if we want to truly see this thing get going. I'm honestly very excited about 10 SEC games. Obviously, you know, the first couple of weeks of the season are typically kind of a ramp-up week. But, man, you're telling me I get to watch 10 SEC versus SEC matchups this fall if we can get a season going. I'm very excited about that. And as a South Carolina grad, I'm obviously going to miss the Carolina-Clemson rivalry. But I've kind of said this from the beginning. 2020 is different. Things are going to look different. As long as we get college football, I will be very happy. And 10 conference matchups, especially when you talk about a conference like the SEC, excites me like nothing else.
Alyssa, I'm going to ask you this question because I've been asked it all day long. And for someone who theoretically should know what's going on, I have no earthly idea. So I'll ask you, how are they going to determine and decide? And I asked this to the commissioner last night, and I know they already know. How are they going to figure out who South Carolina plays, who everyone else plays?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. That's a really great question. I know I was listening to what the commissioner said last night, and I think he told you what, you know, we have to make decision number one before we make decision number two. So I'm sure there are plenty of ways they're going to go about selecting these opponents. I was already kind of digging into this season and looking at, you know, who has tough schedules, who's going to have a big challenge ahead of them, and it's going to be really interesting to see those other games that do get added. I mean, obviously, we could be in for a treat if we've got more games coming out of the SEC. Like I mentioned, two conference opponents. It's always good football when you're watching, you know, SEC conference games. But I don't know exactly how they're going to do it. It's going to be really interesting for sure.
Well, I mean, and I hope it hurries up and happens, because just listening to the appetite of the football fan out there, this will be a debate that will not end for a while about which schools got favoritism and which didn't, even though you and I both know that's not the way it's going to be.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be the next great debate, right? Like, we always are bracing ourselves for the college football playoff debate every single year, but you're going to have some fans who I'm sure are not thrilled about, oh, we got to add Bama to our schedule, or we got to add LSU to our schedule. So there will definitely be plenty to talk about and break down on social media. I'm sure you could probably do 4 hours worth and then some when that schedule comes out, whenever it does. But I mean, as somebody who covers this conference, and I'm sure you'll agree, I am just so excited to see how they do it. And again, not only that, but adding two more conference games, because it's just another level when you're talking about the SEC versus the SEC. And I think I saw, I think it was Grant Delpit on Twitter who retweeted maybe a former classmate or an athlete on LSU's campus who said something like, 10 SEC games, you guys better get in the weight room now because this is going to look a little different than your typical schedule when you're going against your brothers on the other side of the conference, who I have been told multiple times by multiple players during my time covering games. When you're in the SEC, you love each other, but you're also trying to kill each other every single down. So we're in for some good football this fall, no matter what those schedules look like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to show favoritism to any one school, but considering how much conversation we hear from Florida fans about that LSU game every year, I just hope that Florida ends up having to go to Alabama, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Florida's schedule, they've got a not that there's any easy schedules in the SEC, but when you look at those road games, they look like they could have a chance to breeze through that road schedule this year. Florida's one of my favorites to win the East, which will certainly be an interesting storyline as we move forward. But man, you talk about Florida, Alabama, that would be fantastic. Alabama, Tennessee, I know that's already on the schedule, but that's one that I am just jonesing for, Paul. I mean, in Neyland Stadium, you've got Alabama going to Tennessee. We saw what happened last year. I know it ended up being a little bit of a blowout towards the end, but man, Tennessee hung with them for a good half of football. And I think this year, that's going to be one of the matchups to look at.
And I want to see one more, Alyssa, as we close down. I want to see Ole Miss at Tennessee because it Lane Kiffin in Neyland Stadium never gets old.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine just the fanfare that, even if there aren't fans in the stadium, I guess, the fanfare that would accompany that with Lane Kiffin in Knoxville? Yeah, that would be amazing. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying. You know, when it's the SEC, it doesn't matter who it is. There's always some storyline. There's always some aspect of fun outside of football that I think comes with it. So I'm so excited to see it. I know we're in the middle of talking about football, Paul, but I do want to tell you, I know you're a big dog person. I got a puppy a couple months ago. So I'm very excited for the day that we can get back into the building so that you can meet my pup, because I feel like he truly hasn't lived until he's met Paul Feinbaum.
Well, I will love him regardless. That's how I feel about all dogs. Alyssa, thanks for making time, and be careful, and take care of little pup.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Great to have you on. Alyssa Lang from the SEC Network. We are heading to a break. More of your phone calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flail.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is what the Pac-12 return to play looks like. 20-hour mandatory. 17th practice begins. Season begins on the 26th. Championship game. By the way, the championship game will not be in Vegas. It was originally planned on being there. It will now be on a campus at the higher-ranked seed. Probably not a good idea to go to Vegas to play your conference championship game in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. Just my thought. Let's get some more phone calls here at 855-242-7285. We talk a little bit later to a 7-time Pro Bowler who has two sons playing big-time college football in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and he will talk about his concerns for what is currently going on. That is coming up here in just a moment. And Bert is in Nebraska. Hey, Bert.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
I am well, thank you.
Yeah, my heart's in SEC country, but I'm in the Big Ten area. Question is, do you think the SEC might do pay-per-view to make up for revenue for all the colleges for all the games this year?
No. Let me explain. Pay-per-view is a thing of the past for this reason. Every conference has its own, well, with one exception, the Big 12, has its own network. They have network ties. So what used to be the pay-per-view game, the early season Chattanooga-Alabama game, that game would, of course, it won't happen this year, but that game would now be probably on the SEC network or William & Mary and Southern Cal. I mean, that game would be on the Pac-12 network. So those games are long gone. Sadly, there's no way to make up for the lost revenue this year. There is only one way. and that is if the college football playoff expanded. But they're not going to do that. That would make up a lot of money. AC is up next. You're on the air. Hey, AC. Maybe not. How about Mac? Go ahead, Mac. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, or not really ask you, but I just wanted to talk about, I think that you always see, like, especially like last year, how the Pac-12 had, you know, Utah and Oregon and like those cases for the playoffs, but it sort of fizzled out. But, you know, because they're in the Pac-12, I think that that matters a lot more this year, because I feel like without the out-of-conference games, how good your conference is has to impact what they think about your schedule. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think right now we are literally dealing with a blank slate here, Mac, because we don't really know a lot about, first of all, the SEC schedule. Today we found out about the Pac-12 schedule. So we don't know what the big leaders in college football are going to. I mean, normally we do. We just pick up a preseason magazine and you can look at a power rating. But there is so much we don't know, and I know that word becomes that word really gets old. I don't know, but sometimes it's really the best way. In fact, I'm going to give you an I don't know answer. Just a few minutes ago, Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, was asked on the Pac-12 call his level of confidence that the season will happen. His answer: I don't know. That is not exactly a vote of confidence. Let's continue with more phone calls. And a man who never has a difficult time giving an opinion or deciphering an anomaly, he is Augie from New Orleans.
Well, Paul, I was going to tell you to open your Bible to Matthew 5:22. Isn't that our class for the day, name calling? It's pretty interesting because, you know, a lot of the languages that were spoken back then weren't even English. I think it was Aramaic and Hebrew, right?
I think Hebrew was a pretty common language back then.
Well, can you imagine? I wonder how hard it is to translate disparaging Aramaic words into English after 2,000 years or 1,000 years or even...
Well, of the seven languages I sing, I speak Farsi as one, so I'll be happy to give it a try.
I speak a little Dari, but that's only it's similar to Farsi, but I don't speak it that well.
Yeah, it's a little too ethnic for my linguistic range.
So, like, Chachoristi, that's what you would say in Dari to an Afghan of Tajik background. But anyway, that was pretty depressing, what you ended up with Mac there. That doesn't sound like hopes for a full season are as optimistic as Sankey tried to paint them yesterday. And
well, by the way, Larry Scott did add the most abused word in the pandemic. I am cautiously optimistic.
That's as bad as the asset of time. We didn't hear that yesterday, did we?
No, and by the way, I think in fairness to Commissioner Sankey, I didn't hear any false optimism yesterday. I heard a real sobering conversation about where we were and where we were hoping to go.
Which brings me to my point. He seemed like he was... it's like he was a doctor coming out of an ER room to give you the family an update, and he was prepping us for some really sobering news. That's the impression I got.
I would agree. And again, it could just have been the day. And, you know, think about what the commissioner went through yesterday. I'm told that he had a 7:30 meeting on Zoom with the SEC football coaches, and then he dealt with the presidents. It seems like a lifetime to me. I mean, the football, I would love to have heard the football conversation, wouldn't you?
That probably would have been something that you could have sold in a pay-per-view. But, I mean, you know, half a conversation is nonverbal, so we don't get to really
And it's unfortunate because we were just a little background. We were scheduled to have him on camera, and at the last minute, the audio was not communicating correctly. So I would have loved to have seen him. You're right, but I think I have a pretty good idea of what he was going through. And you know, this is someone who is in communication not only with us and his staff and the ADs and the presidents, but people at the NCAA, people at other conferences, and it can be a. I don't know if it was because you know we've talked to him many many times after exhaustive meetings. I just think it was the reality yesterday, Augie, that we are not starting on time. We are starting 3 weeks late. And quite frankly, I don't know if we're starting at all.
And would you not say that that is an anomaly?
That would be an anomaly. It would even be more dramatic if you said it in Yiddish.
I don't know Yiddish. But I can say this, Max Call, and he brought up a good point. If these conferences are only going to play interconference games, then that's not going to bode well for the Pac-12, I think, this year, because Pac-12, the real measuring stick we have are their non-conference games at the beginning of the season, because they have proven for the last few years that they cannot compete outside of their own conference. So I think it's going to hurt them in particular.
I tend to agree. Augie, always a pleasure. Let's take a short break here. We have a lot to do and some pretty important guests. Thank you, Augie. We are back with much, much more on a busy, busy Friday afternoon.
You are listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Welcome back here on a Friday afternoon, and HP is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, HP.
Yes, Paul. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We have actually traveled similar roads as I worked in radio and newspaper and television, and we actually crossed paths in Birmingham, Alabama.
I appreciate that. That's I can't wait to hear more about your career.
Well, we did cross paths. As I said, we worked for the in the Shoal Creek at the PGA tournament.
Okay.
And I had the pleasure of working with you, and you were a consummate professional. As someone else you will know, Herb Winches and I.
Oh, man.
While we would go out and eat and have a beverage, you would go over your script and practice your lines.
Well, Herb was a great friend, and I think one of the truly extraordinary sports broadcasters in the history of Alabama. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he did and accomplished.
No, he really doesn't. And I had the pleasure of working with him as well, and because he was on radio at that time, and I helped him produce his radio show. So I stood behind the camera and actually watched you do your thing, and you were really a very good on air. And you were, this was in the early days, I think, because I remember watching you and saw you in the tower, in your radio tower, as I went to work several times. I don't know if everybody knows what I'm talking about, but you were overlooking the Beacon Parkway.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah. That was when I was at WERC. I left there to go to WJOX, which I was happy to do, but I hated losing that view. That was
one of the
we had a studio that literally you looked out on, you could see, we were way up on a mountain. You could see Tuscaloosa on one side and downtown Birmingham on the other. It was impossible to beat.
And you could look up and see Paul's silhouette, up there. It's almost like I would say it's almost like a tower for air control.
No, you're right. It was a great studio, and unfortunately, they had just built it about a year before we departed.
Well, and now I've had the pleasure of working with the University of Alabama. So I've been able to work with Coach Saban. The news I got for you is that I just got an email from the ticket department and Tide Pride, and it was very nice. It was telling us how glad they were. We were being patient, and they appreciated that. And they said we would have more information on August 6th as to what my tickets would be, because since I'm faculty staff, I assume I'll have a little bit of a leg up on some things, but I've been ticket holder for many years, so I've been there for 15, I think, at the university. So they have got their email already out, so they are planning on, and I do know the tickets are going to be electronic, by the way.
Yeah, I think this is the next phase of it, HP, is that, you know, fans are, and I don't blame them. If I had been going to Alabama football games for 15 or 30 years, I would want tickets. And unfortunately, I think Greg Burns' phone is going to ring quite often in the next few weeks.
Yes, they are. I tell you, and if they were like one in particular that was in Atlanta that was a nightmare, they better fix that. That was not a very good app. But the one final thing I was going to say, that you were a good friend. We have another common friend that's a sports writer, and I'm not going to name him. But you were evidently going to see him. And I think this is make people laugh a little bit, and that he'd been very sick. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. And you were happening to go visit him in the hospital. and the story goes that he came out of the coma and woke up and looked around and said, "Oh, God, help me. I've gone to hell. There's Paul Feinbaum."
That's true.
And you'd have to know this person to know that's kind of funny coming out of his mouth. But you do a very good job on the show. You're a consummate professional, and I think that people need to realize that you put a lot of work into what you do, because I know I've seen it firsthand. I worked with you for an entire week. And I'm sure you're thinking, who in the world is this? One day maybe we'll talk off air and you'll figure it out. So,
well, HP, I appreciate that, and look forward to seeing you when I get back to Alabama soon. Thank you very, very much for the call. Guy is in Houston. Guy, thank you, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. As a Georgia Bulldog fan, I think this coming season is going to be a treat. You know, we'll play 10 games that really count. We already have all of our SEC East rivals. We always have Auburn. This year we're going to play Alabama at Tuscaloosa. Ironically, the last time we beat them was in Tuscaloosa 13 years ago when Matthew Stafford was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But at the end of the season, when they're looking at playoff teams, strength of schedule is going to be off the chart for Georgia and the other SEC teams, whoever our other teams are that we play. We're going to look really good if we do well. But it's all out there for us, and I think this is a great year to be a fan of an SEC school.
Well, the one thing about it, we are not going to have to deal with the absolute garbage games that every school has that simply aren't worth watching. And I know that there's a purpose behind them from a money standpoint, and athletes like them to pad their stats, but as a college football consumer, I hate them.
Well, and the only game really that we're losing, that I hate that we're losing, is the very first game, the Chick-fil-A kickoff against Virginia.
That would have been a good game.
I would have had that game. But other than that, you know, we've got everybody else. Georgia Tech, we don't really need. We don't recruit against them anyway. I mean, realistically, our players weren't going to Georgia Tech. So
I'm pretty optimistic that when we get the schedule, it's going to even be more exciting. Hey, thank you for the call. We're up against a break. A lot of really interesting guests coming up, including someone who has two sons playing for big time college football programs. We'll talk about what a former NFL star thinks about his sons right now, going through what we're all talking about. Chris Hinton is next.